Welcome, one and all.
Please don't desert me.
To the Vinnie Eastwood Show. But Will, on American Freedom Radio, and incidentally, Rush 89 FM, Hamilton in New Zealand. Welcome, one and all. And for those of you chilling out in the Northern Hemisphere, in the literal sense of the word, welcome. Extra snow, evidence of global warming. This is from gorillamedia.co.nz. There were two silent calls followed by a message left on my voicemail. She had a soft, gentle voice and a mid-Wales accent. You are a liar, Mr. Monbiot. You and James Hansen and all your lying colleagues. I'm going to make you pay back the money my son gave to your causes. It's minus 18 degrees Celsius and my pipes have frozen. You are a liar. Is this your global warming? She's not going to like the answer. And nor are you. It may be yes. There's now strong evidence to suggest that unusually cold winters of the last 2 years in the UK are the result of heating elsewhere, with the help of the severe weather analyst John Mason and the climate science rapid response team. I've been through as much of the scientific literature as I can lay hands on, and here's what seems to be happening. The global temperatures maps published by NASA present a striking picture. Last month shows a deep blue splodge over Iceland, Spitsbergen, Scandinavia and the UK, and another over the western US and eastern Pacific. Temperatures in these regions have been between 0.5 degrees and 4 degrees colder than the November average from 1951 to 1980, but on either side of these cool blue pools are raging fires of orange, red and maroon. The temperatures in western Greenland, northern Canada and Siberia were between 2 and 10 degrees Celsius higher than normal. NASA's Arctic Oscillations map for the 3rd to the 10th of December shows that parts of Baffin Island and central Greenland were 15 degrees warmer than the average for 2002 and 2009. There was a similar pattern last winters, and these anomalies appear to be connected. That's one article, okay, in support of it. But there's an article here from 2005 out of The Guardian saying Northern Hemisphere in trouble as Gulf Stream wanes. The powerful ocean current that bathes Europe and Britain in warm waters from the tropics has weakened dramatically in recent years, a consequence of global warming that could trigger more severe winters and cooler summers across the region, scientists warn today. Researchers on a scientific expedition in the Atlantic Ocean measured the strength of the current between Africa and the East Coast of America and found that the circulation has slowed by 30% since a previous expedition 12 years ago. Uh-huh. And then, of course, in March...
So you're arguing for the climate changes now, Vinny.
And get this, on March 20, 2000, snowfall, a thing of the past. Yeah. So there's conflicting evidence from the climate changes. And quite frankly,
the science is settled.
They say full stop. They say the science is settled, even though they contradict themselves and each other and the evidence that they present. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. And welcome back to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on American Freedom Radio and Rush 89 FM Hamilton. And this climate whole change... Excuse me, this climate cultist debate, topic, etc., whatever the F you want to call it, is big news all over the place because, let's face it, weather happens all the time. So there's no shortage of stories that you can look to. And, you know, I've posted up a whole bunch of articles on Guerrilla Media showing both the perspectives on this. There is still a debate, despite the fact that... the climate changes will say to the contrary, that there is absolutely no debate as people scream at them and yell at them and host conferences and post articles and submit research and those kind of things. They say, there's no debate! There's no debate! It's over! It's over! Like a fabulous cultist does. You know, I mean, if you've ever encountered one of these creatures... You'll see that their eyes get really, really wide, and they kind of they get really, really angry and aggressive with you straight off the bat. You basically don't even need to say a freaking word and they start to hate you. If you question or if you submit evidence to the contrary of their beliefs, because their beliefs aren't based on fact, they're based on repeated propaganda through organizations like Greenpeace, etc., etc. And if you don't look at both sides of the debate, say, as I do, you don't see the holes in their arguments. You don't see the conflicting evidence. You don't see reality. Because you're not operating on facts, you're operating on belief. Now, that is why I call them climate cultists, because they are not a intelligent group of people that are looking at evidence, backing up their claims, and then making sure that people have both sides of the argument so that they can make up their own choice. They are angry, misinformed, troubled individuals who have nothing better to do, basically, than repeat what they've been told repeatedly many, many times. Now, this is obviously one of the worst things that you can do with any topic whatsoever, primarily because it's just such a huge topic and there's ridiculously large amounts of information out there regarding this. And what my conclusion is, looking at trying to look at both sides, and I wouldn't say that I'm a climate expert of any description, but simply based upon propaganda machinations, if one side is doing the angry, repetitive thing, they're usually the incorrect ones. And the anger and the repetition seems to almost always be on those who support the climate change idea. Be that as it may, as we had Claire Swinney on yesterday, she said, follow the money. And the people who are funding the climate change mantra are elitists. People with
billions of dollars. There's a huge amount of money to be gained in taxing something that is omnipresent. Yeah, it's everywhere. It's ubiquitous. It's whatever you want to call it. But here's the point. And you said about people who you use anger and repetition to spur their rhetoric being wrong. Well, I'm angry at these guys, and I repeat myself a lot too. And I believe in the argument of substance over style. Everyone these days is all style over substance, a style of the newscast, a style of the media in print or on YouTube or whatever, over substance. And this is why, me and Vinny differ on a few things, and probably differ in the sense that I actually do believe in things, but it's not a belief. I believe in facts, and some things absolutely can't be argued with. Some things are set in stone. I like this planet floating around the sun, for one. Some things are dogma, and a lot of people can't deal with that. A lot of people are afraid of dogma because of its connotations, but that's literally propagandized connotations. They don't understand something for what it really is. And here's some dogma for the climate changes. During the last ice age, the amount of CO2 in the atmosphere was hundreds of times greater than today, during the last ice age. Up to 7,000 parts per million was witnessed. Here's a fact. From 1695 to 1735, in central England, there was a warming of 2.2 degrees Celsius. That's 2.2 degrees Celsius in 40 years. 8 times faster than what we've witnessed over the last century. We've only witnessed 0.7 degrees Celsius in the last century. Now, some UN guys have said that was unprecedented in the last 600,000 years. Well, that's a patent lie. Because it was witnessed from 1695 to 1735, 2.2 degrees increase in Britain.
I was told by a guy on a Facebook group called Climate and Capitalism, and you'll find out that anybody who's into environmentalism is basically just a communist saying that they're greenies. He said that that medieval warm period that you just referred to, Will, didn't exist, and he referred me to a website of an unknown origin, which has virtually no backing, that states that claim. And represents a few different people saying the same thing, that the medieval warm period didn't exist when it is pure and historical fact. And this
there
is
were
the
vineyards
thing.
In the north of London. These bastards don't know the difference between speculation, opinion, rumor, and fact. I mean, they're total idiot, buffoon, free-brain-celled morons. They can't work out that, I mean, 11,400 years ago, at the end of the Ice Age, temperatures in the Antarctic rose 5 degrees Celsius in just 3 years. Now, can you answer that, Mr. Rothschild, or Mr. Gore, or Mr. Soros, you billionaire scum? Can you answer how did SUVs do that? How did giant mega corporations fueled by capitalism do that 11,400 years ago? You idiot people, the sun's in charge of the climate, and a bunch of psychopath control freaks that most of the UN guys work for, who are behind developing weather modification technology, are trying to replace the sun as the commander of the weather patterns on planet Earth.
And this article fits right in with that. Earth suffering from engineered ice age. This is from GorillaMedia.co.nz. From a leaked ClimateGate email, the Western world's leading climatologists have confirmed reports of a detrimental global climatic change of cooling. The stability of most nations is based upon a dependable source of food, but this stability will not be possible under the new climactic era. A forecast by the University of Wisconsin projects that the Earth's climate is returning to that of the Neo-Boreal era of 1600 to 1850, an era of drought, famine, and political unrest in the Western world. Pretty alarming, and of course suppressed, while we're told the world is warming and to turn the heat down in every way possible, including reducing our carbon footprint. Excuse me for living.
The thing is, Benny, and you touched on it before, they demonize capitalism all the time, and I'm not even for the capitalism that's pitched to society as the way to go. You know, everything has to be commercialized. We need to have profit upon profit upon profit. That's the only definition of success. We need to continually grow in a finite world. That's not the understanding of capitalism that I have. That is a propagandized, commie, leftist understanding of what capitalism is. Greed and capitalism don't have to go hand in hand. See, capitalism, because free market, true free market, could be governed by morals. But you know what? Those exact morals, that moral code we're talking about, that backbone of society, is exactly what the leftist socialists hate. Therefore, an atheist, big government utopia. Yeah, so the separation of church and state, exactly what Adam Weishaupt of the Bavarian Illuminati, even if you don't agree that the Illuminati exists today, historically, if you look to your history books, 1776, Ingolstadt University, Bavaria, Germany, where Audi is based today, historically, that's exactly what they were for. The destruction of any moral backbone so they could grow society, rebuild it, just like you get broken and remade in the army. That's what they want to do to society as a whole, and turn everyone into patrons of their religion. And that will just be concealed to a few. But getting onto it, they say the answer is socialism. But can't you see the way the world's tended over the last century? Can't they see that government has no power? Government is a hollow term. The only way government gets power is by people relinquishing theirs. Government has no money. Government has no assets. Government is an empty, hollow term that means to control people's minds. Okay, and what it means practically is someone who micromanages society. And the only way this organization, this collection of power mad individuals, gets power is by you identifying with them, voting for them, relinquishing yours. And so the only way governments and corporations have grown over the last century, and they have, and that can't be argued with, is because people have got less powerful over the last century. Even if you just look at it over the last century, if you want to talk about global warming over the last century, look at government warming over the last century. Look how big these guys have got. Look how big these corporations have got. They did it on your back, with your dollars, with your sweat, and with your consent. That's the sad part. And all these climate changers out there, they can't understand that. They are stupid people. I mean, they are really, really are an insult to humanity. And they're steering us down the garden path.
Yeah, and it's true testament to the effective tools of communist propaganda. Now, it's not like we're leading back into, say, neo-McCarthyism or anything like that, like weed out the Reds or whatever. It's more effective just looking at history. Now, has the capitalist model worked? I wouldn't say that it's worked because it got taken over. Capitalism was supposed to be what's called a free market. Now, this is what we're talking about when we talk about competition, is that competition is when you have two different people and both of them have a varying quality of product. And when they compete against each other, they compete against each other by trying to improve their products and make them better than the competitor's product. Okay? That's what free market capitalism is supposed to be. Instead, what it's become is a so-called free market competitive capitalism, where two guys are making products, one guy has an inferior product, one guy has a superior product, so in order to make sure that he can succeed selling his inferior product, he sabotages his competitor's product. Okay, that's what is happening at the moment, when there is no real competition. It's more about trying to destroy everybody's ability to function properly and moralistically by having superior works. Okay,
and the sad
that's
thing is,
what
Vinny,
competition has turned into.
Now, a lot of the left understand that that corruption, and they say capitalism lends itself to corruption, but so does growing big government. But the thing is, the cabals involved in these corruptions, involved in handing out money over $60 billion in the 2008 bailout, $67 billion, went to Wall Street banker, a select few bankers, we're talking about a couple hundred people here, Christmas bonuses, $67 billion in Christmas bonuses. Okay, now the only reason this can happen is because there are small cabals, commonly known as secret societies, and that's the truth of it. And these freaks out there who think they're protesting against the system, going, who's got the power? The people's got the power. They don't understand any of this. And keeping those societies in the dark gives them power. They don't understand that. They think, some of them get new agey on it. Oh, you talk about these groups. You're giving them power. Stop feeding into their negative energy. And see, I love them, and I give them all my energy. No, you got to expose them. What does a secret society hate the most? Light. They claim to be of the light and all the rest of it. What do cabals, what do criminal organizations hate the most? Exposure. You have to talk about them. So that's why all these groups we have here in New Zealand, Australia, wherever, who came to be against corruption, who came to be on the side of the people, a lot of these leftist groups I'm talking about in particular, but there's fake conservative groups too, who claim to be for this and that, who claim to be for getting rid of the bankers. They don't talk about the real people behind the throne, the Bilderberg group, the Council on Foreign Relations, all the monarchs that are involved, that are interlaced with these organizations. They are responsible. They, in my mind, they hold the burden of the corruption that's going on by not talking about it. And if they can't get their heads around it, then get the hell out of political activism. If you can't understand basic things that are now well evidenced and have been out for over a century, I mean, then just get out of politics. Go back to eating hot dogs with the rest of them.
It's almost as if you have to really make a choice these days about whether or not you want to understand politics, okay? Because if you want to understand politics, it's not something that you can just sit down and work out over a glass of wine or smoking a joint or whatever. It's something that you really do have to put a lot of time and effort into. And in this day and age, when everybody's had their wages devalued and they have to work extra hard to get paid peanuts, and then when they come home, they're too tired to raise their kids, too tired to work on a project, too tired to do anything save sit down and absorb brainwashing mechanisms through television screens, it is extremely difficult to get anybody to even have a rudimentary understanding of what politics truly is. So much, in fact, that I have indeed encountered people who have laughed at me because I'm interested in politics, saying that they don't matter, when in actual fact, politics rule almost every aspect of your life, particularly...
Because they don't even understand what politics is, because if you look at where a lot of people fill out politics on their Facebook profile, say, they just put John Key, Barack Obama. That's not politics. What do you think about something? What do you think about something? You know, what's come out of your head? Out of all the millions of synapses firing in your brain? Oh, I'm sorry, aspartame's got the better of them. I'm sad, man. Like, you know, and so that's why they go politics doesn't matter, because a bunch of 120 grey-haired men in a Masonic chamber debating all day really don't matter. I agree, but the world does.
The world matters. It truly does. And if you're a part of it, it's your responsibility to exercise your thought, exercise your right, and make sure that you don't become the enemy that you fight against. You're listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will. Welcome back. For the climate, it is a change. In Berlin, there was an absolute cold record in early December. And for 100 years, it had not been as cold as in the first decade of December, said this guy from Germany. And last 2 weeks have been the coldest in England since the second to last solar minimum many hundreds of years ago. And what is the cause for this severe cooling? Globig sees two main causes for the significant cooling. First, the cyclical changes in the big air currents over the Atlantic, currently known as the jet streams. And second, the variations in solar activity. Everyone has heard about the high over the Azores and the low over Iceland, said Globig. And the most important question for weather forecasts for many years was, what are the air pressure differences between the two regions? How stormy will it be? And how much mild air is being shoveled sequentially from the Arctic to Europe? Both pressures exist. Both pressure areas do not exist right now, explains Globig. On the contrary, over the Azores, there is a lower air pressure and a high over Iceland. The weather over the Atlantic is upside down, said Globig. Now, cold air from the polar region has lots of space to flow to Europe, and that is what is happening. Interesting. Some things flipped the weather over the Atlantic. What the global warming conspiracy theorists criminally do not take into account was solar activity and its effect on the Earth's climate, and how it affects the jet stream is simply illustrated. Now, what else could have exacerbated this current trend towards cooling, i.e. playing with the jet stream, creating winds, or tinkering with the ocean currents? While it may seem the elephant in the room is an embarrassed global warming turned climate change crowd, we may be missing some major factors staring at us in the face, and deliberately so. And do you expect to be told the whole truth? In fact, the idiots are saying that the cooling is happening because of the warming, and people believe it. They've been so ashamed for being alive and having a carbon footprint, they feel guilty and thereby not in a position to contest this insanity. Geoengineering, on the other hand, its deliberate and accidental effects, up and coming on the world stage, has deliberately increased awareness and attempted acceptance of geoengineering, scientific methods for improving our environment. Again, most of these are based on the false global warming scare first conjured in the Club of Rome in the 70s that claimed we are facing an imminent, catastrophic ecological collapse and our only hope is to transform humanity into a global, interdependent, sustainable society based on respect and reverence for the Earth. And reverence for the Earth. You know, and basically that means a human life is no longer valued above, say, that of a rock.
Well, see, Vinny, they wrote in 1973 that they wanted to have a twin-pronged attack, like a pincer, of pseudo-terrorism, fake terrorism, which a lot of the left understand and the right don't, i.e., you know, the neocon, Bush-loving crowd don't understand that 9/11 was an inside job, And that the IRA attacks were like 80% staged by MI5, and we could just go on here for hours. The 311 bombings in Madrid. So you have fake terror and pseudo fake environmentalism. And that's what you capture the left with. And so you capture the right on some, the left on others, and together you compound their lies and you build your massive pyramid scheme overarching one world government. And they talked about, the Club of Rome, in fact, talked about this. So I can't believe that you've got documents going back at least 30 years. You've got all these suspicious, nefarious groups involved with funding, United Nations, the founding of it, WWF. You got people like Charles involved, Philip involved. The most suspicious. Like, I mean, what would you think of someone who went back to their husband, who had beaten her 10 times and killed half, you know, killed half their wife's family, and was just completely running mind games on them, psychological ops, and treating this woman as some sort of whore sex slave? Do you think that she should just give the person a chance and keep going back to them and keep giving them the benefit of the doubt and not causing any trouble, not rocking the boat? Do you think that's a sustainable, to use their term, way to live? I mean, that's what it is. We're addicted to government and corporations in an abusive relationship. And the people who supposedly are against the corporations or hippie left. We hate capitalism. We're getting sucked into socialism. The same Rothschild brand, the same Rockefeller brand is behind it. David Rockefeller has written open editorials in the New York Times praising Mao and communism. The godfather of American capitalism praising communism. Why? Well, because it's their little model they have on the ground to get everyone addicted to government, and so they can build something for themselves. They're not going to just come in here and say, we want to kill you all and, you know, you're going to be our slaves and here, give us your hands and feet so we can bind you. They're going to sell it, right? A psychopath has to sell their entrapment, don't they? Otherwise, it doesn't work very well. Otherwise, it turns into Nazi Germany. He was too efficient about it, too in-your-face about it. And conned a lot of smart people for, you know, a decade or so, and then eventually he gets outed. But these guys are being outed by anyone with a perceptive brain, and the majority of the public's just, hey, I'm busy, man. I've got things to do. I'm out living my life. Sure you are. Well, you're living the life they want you to lead.
They're tripping the life fantastic. I mean, seriously, and this is the difference between fascism and communism as it stands. Fascism relies on rapid deployment, okay, making sure that it's in your face, make sure that it happens incredibly quickly so that people don't have time to react. Socialism, on the other hand, believes in doing it step by step, very, very slowly, so that people don't notice. Just like the frog in the boiling pot, if you've got a frog in some cold water and you heat it up gradually, it'll sit there and slowly boil to death. But if you had some hot water and you chuck that frog in, he'd jump immediately out and save himself. This is what we are right moment, and we are approaching boiling point.
Even if I counted the number of articles to do with this whole global tyranny, from the police state and the use of telecommunications, microchips to track and trace people, to the health scams that have gone on, and all the additives in our food and water, to reading about false flag ops going back to Nero's time. I mean, if you count the number of articles, they're just in the thousands, and that's just what, you know, me and my small experience and limited skills can come across. And the average person out there just can't deal with just one or two little articles. They lose concentration over 3 or 4 minutes, and it's sad. And they're so capable. People don't know what they're capable of and what we could be capable of. And they just entrust in these experts all the time, but they can't see that our countries are dying by 1,000 cuts. They won't read every single one and learn and make themselves aware of all those 1,000 cuts, or even 100 cuts, or even 1 or 2 or 10. Instead, they say to me, instead when you have private conversations with people, they say, look, when the time comes, Will, don't worry. I'll be on your side. We'll defeat these people. Corrupt people are never going to win at the end of the day. And hey, they might be right. But how are you, as the half-boiled frog, as the 80% boiled frog, how are you going to resist these people who have gathered military might, intelligence might, weapons that we can't even know about, not allowed to know about? You actively think you're going to be able to resist them when the time comes, and I suppose these people are deciding when the time is right for themselves. That's in... You think there's going to be like a government announcement? Hey, everyone, it's time to fight us now. You know, and that's not even the solution. It's all a cognitive war, as far as I'm concerned. You know, these weak, filthy bankers didn't put themselves in power via force alone. You know, they might have rolled over people and smashed indigenous people left, right, and center, and they might have used force now and then. But ultimately, how do you think they got their force enacted? It's by coercion. It's all cognitive. How do you think they convince military men to go and fight their wars for them? It's by branding it into something patriotic. You're defending your country. You get purple hearts and medals, and you're good.
They lie to you, and they're so good at lying that you believe them, and when people tell you that they're lying to you, you'd never even think to listen to them. That is the level of sophistication that we are dealing with here, okay? It's not like as a truther you can just waltz up to one of these monsters and try and convince them otherwise, to try and convince them to do something good for humanity instead of all this lies and slaughter. They won't listen to you. They're too efficiently propagandized. That is the key here, is that we're fighting a propaganda war, okay? Edward Bernays, the father of public relations, used to be in the World War I propaganda contingent, okay? He knows, and he taught people the methods of how you convince other human beings to follow your orders without question, by convincing those who are at the top, who are educated, to convince the others based upon that trust relationship that we're supposed to have. You walk into your doctor and you say, "Oh, I'm feeling a little bit down." He doesn't ask you what you're eating. He just says, "Oh, you're feeling not terribly good? Here's some toxic pharmaceuticals that'll make you commit suicide." And you go, "Oh, yeah, thank you, doctor. You're really looking out for me, aren't you?"
It's culture jamming. It's culture jamming. So what you do is you infiltrate the best minds in society and people across different social networks and everything, like the OSS did before they formed the CIA. And they get baseball players and they get movie stars. And you... the movie stars don't have to be actively involved in the conspiracy. You just have to implant certain themes in their mind. This is what the CIA do. They go around Hollywood parties. They have their agents in Hollywood, like Rahm Emanuel's brother, and, to name one there. And then they go around planting seeds, so they get in certain storylines, and they make sure they get in scripts. A lot of the directors probably work for them too, if you want to be honest. And it's all about setting the culture anyway. It's all about setting the parameters of social proof. And so if I then grow up, I'm born into the society in 1984, and I grow up and I'm 20 years old and I have girls that I respect saying to me, you know, as a red-blooded male, "Oh, why don't you become a lawyer?" Or, "You're smart, why didn't you do this?" Or, "Why don't you do that?" Because I want to be respected by my peers here on this global plantation, I will succumb to social proof and social judgments of what I think is valuable to my ascension, to my moving up, to gaining the respect of my peers. But it's not actual real respect. It's not anything deep, because they've created this facade reality. You see, so they've made it noble to go to the right schools, or to study at the right universities, or to get the right jobs and to have the right car and the biggest house and to run the pool parties for the rich neighborhood. So as a young guy growing up, you know, you see these sorts of things, and you start to realize, well, some people just play with it. A lot of people are there. They want to be a gangster. They want to roll with it. They think it's cool. Well, but I was always kind of on the outside looking in, but then people expected me to be on the inside, and it's like, wow. I can see what that is. It's baloney. It's crap. You know, it's the reason why everything's messed up in this world. A lot of people just want to be socialites, and that's it. And once they set the standards in society, the rest follows. It all follows suit. And so if I said the reason for the war in Iraq is because people focus on celebrity and obsess in celebrity culture and music and everything, most people would laugh at me. They can't see the connection between Oprah Winfrey and dead Iraqi children. I can. It's clear as day. It's clear as day. You're taking people's cognitive function, you're taking their attention, you're taking hours out of their day that they're not working for the Federal Reserve Bank, and you're washing their minds with stuff that really doesn't matter at the end of the day. There's going to be another Keisha, there's going to be another Britney Spears, there's going to be another crack whore who works, you know, for Madison Avenue. It doesn't matter. It's just temporary. And people end up being defined by that stuff. It's sad.
It's absolutely true, and it's given rise to networks such as E! Television, who have breaking news on the latest Hollywood scandal, as opposed to breaking news, the Federal Reserve gave $9 trillion plus to other banks that it owns and is partnered with without anybody in the public knowing, which is over 10 times what they gave as bailouts to
the rest of the banks.
You know?
People will say, that's boring. It's boring. And why do they say it's boring? Because who's made their interests? Who set their interests? Who decided for them what's interesting and what they want involved in their life? I wonder. Mm-hmm.
Are we living lives of consequence, or are we living lives of bollocks? You're listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show. I'm a bug to the one and only Vinny Eastwood Show with Will on American Freedom Radio and Rush 89 FM in Hamilton. Very, very pleased to be broadcasting daily. And we were talking over the show about how people in general, they don't have the same values as you or I, do they, Will? Because maybe they haven't been exposed to the right information, the right learning environments. They weren't taught to question or anything. They went to public schools, got told to shut up, sit down, repeat, 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 and you'll get a good grade, you'll get a good job, and then you wind up being a good slave.
Well, look, I got all of that. I'd check all that list for me too, you know. But I think it takes something to shake you out of your little fake skin. I mean, I think some of these people need to grab it in a good shake. you know, I don't know how to explain it, but, you know, thinking about that song, the intro song, listening to that song on the intro, I was just thinking of, you know, Al Gore dressed up like a matador, you know, waving the red flag at a bull. And that's literally like what we see figuratively. You know, he's just waving this big false flag, and it's climate change. He's waving this big green flag, big giant green flag, and there he is dressed up like, I don't know, a jester or something. And there's all these climate change people saying, stupid climate denier, can't you see that green flag? Can't you see it? Can't you see climate change? It's so obvious. All the science has said, oh, look, we need to run that way. And they're running at the flag, and I'm like, yeah, can't you see what's behind the flag? Can't you see that's the empire? That's the throne? That's the new world order? I mean, and you're just going to hit that flag and then go, you know, see, we got you.
Yep, you're going to run straight through it, and you'll find out that there's an enormous sword now sticking out of your side as you bleed to death in the middle of the arena.
Yep, and they're just going to laugh on you and they feed on you. And, I mean, it's, you know, they're already feeding on us here in New Zealand. I mean, we've got the climate change tax. They're just taxing the air here. You know,
yeah.
I'm sorry, John Key. I'm just waving my hands to the air here. I mean, I know it's $15 a ton, the CO2. Maybe I should be out there with some sort of pump condensing the air and selling it to them. I mean,
absolutely. I mean, because if you can sell a product that is absolutely everywhere and free, I mean, it's like selling dirt, you know? Everybody's standing on it every day, okay? And nobody sells it because everybody's on it every day. There's no need to sell it. But now there is.
Dirt on the bottom of your shoes. Then we can really have footprints. Then we can have dirt footprints, some carbon footprints. And yeah, I mean... That's what it's like, though. It's like if I said, the enemy, what's causing global warming, is nitrogen in the soil. And that nitrogen being released by earthworms and by you digging it up and by excavation is bad. So any excavated sites now, we're going to tax. And anyone digs a hole, we're going to tax you. And we've worked out that we're going to put the tax on shovels and diggers. And I mean, it's just so obscure. And people start thinking, how much tax should we have on aircraft? And how much tax should we have on, you know, milk that has to be shipped a certain distance. It has certain air miles on it, and that accumulates, you know, 15 cents a litre. And it's just, it just gets into this whole science. And what they do is they debate the semantics of how to apply a tax, just like they debate the semantics of having a super city or not, or of having, you know, whatever they debate. They debate the minutiae whilst trying to distract you from the point. And the point is whether CO2 warms the planet or not. And all the historical evidence says no, the sun does. It's tied to sunspots and solar radiation, cosmic rays.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of ridiculous taxes, the UK, now, according to a major newspaper, is thinking about bringing back the window tax. Did you hear about that, Will?
Well, I've been mentioning it a few times. Maybe they heard me. So sorry.
Well, it was funny. Our associate producer sent me an article when you mentioned that yesterday, and I couldn't freaking believe it, and I didn't actually have the time to mention it. But there you go. It seems to be that no measure of taxation is enough for government because you can't solve any problem with taxation. Retards, come on. Think about it. Wake up! In history,
yeah, I mean,
any point in history has a
it was under King William the Third
solved a single problem. Never. So why would it be the solution to a global problem? Oh, it's a global tax. It'll solve global problems, even though any tax has never solved any problem ever, under any circumstances. It doesn't happen. It's a way to fleece the public who work to give money to the bankers who don't. Now, people think that going into Wall Street, betting on the stock exchange, is a respectable job. Likewise, yeah. I could go into a casino every day and play Texas Hold'em poker and win millions of dollars and say, it's a job. How much am I producing? What am I making? How am I improving the world? Am I creating anything of worth? No, I'm not. I'm simply moving things along in a way that doesn't freaking matter. Okay?
By the way, the window tax.
It's like playing financial musical chairs. This is how it all works. And in the end, it's always the people who know that the game is being played, who have the insider information, who are the ones that are left with a seat at the end of it, and you don't get left with a seat. You're left dancing around with absolutely jack nothing to your name when your children are being deprived of food, education, housing, and all the things that matter in life to make sure that they are healthy, educated, capable of raising their young and doing the same things that our parents were able to do for us. And in the future, it will not be possible. You're listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on American Freedom Radio and TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com. We'll be right back with hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's The Vinnie Eastwood Show. With Will. Healthy, sugary sports drinks? Yeah, right. I've got a great article in here from Guerrilla Media. Manufacturers of sports drinks appear to have successfully deceived children and their parents into believing that their products are healthy, according to a study conducted by researchers from the University of Texas Health Science Center and published in the Journal of Pediatrics. Sports drinks have been successfully marketed as beverages consistent with a healthy lifestyle, which has set them apart from soda, said lead researcher Nalini Ranjit. Children and parents associate these drinks with a healthy lifestyle despite their increased amount of sugar and lack of nutritional value. It's just true testament, isn't it really, ladies and gentlemen, to the power of marketing. If you lie to somebody and lie to them very, very well, they will believe you, regardless of how phony, ridiculous, or borderline insane what they're saying is. Okay? Drink this drink. It's incredibly sugary, loaded with artificial sweeteners, which are all poisonous and aren't good for your metabolism or anything like that, but it's going to help you live a healthy lifestyle. Okay? Drink it. Drink it. Now, any person...
About as much perception as a climate changer, Vinny.
Yep.
I mean, that's it, man. I mean, you know, to talk about the window tax, I lied the other day. I said it was 1697. It was 1696, sorry. But that's just my conspiracy theory-ness lying, I suppose.
You're trying to misinform the public, Will.
Just info there, man. Got a year off 300 years ago. But I mean, it was King William III, and it was thought to, whether it was the origin or not, but it was thought to have led to the term daylight robbery. Windows let in daylight, obviously, and the British people thought it was robbery, the idea of having a tax on windows in 1696. And then this happened in France from 1698 to 1926, the doors and windows tax. Because the French are just loving socialists, and, you know, they're just viva la revolution. Adam Weishaupt is great. I haven't got much time for the French, sorry, but yeah.
Yeah, like I always say, there's only two things I really hate: racism and the French.
But I mean, it's just so ridiculous that even if the climate changes are right from a scientific point of view, they are wrong ultimately, because economics and politics come before science. And if anyone wants to try and argue that, then hey, that's another story. You've got big problems. But sadly, in this world, economics comes probably before politics, and certainly comes before science. That's why we don't live life. That's why we don't have carbon fiber electric cars driving around, people. Okay, that's why we don't have a whole range of technology that exists even, you know, in the public realm.
Criminal bankers issuing all our currency. You're listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show with Will, and we'll get into this after the break. And how many people do you know can laugh and maintain a good sense of humor in the face of annihilation via a new world order extermination world government force? Not many, if any. Welcome back to the Vinny Eastwood Show with Will on American Freedom Radio, Rush FM in Hamilton, and the Vinny Eastwood Show. .com. If you could do me a favor, if you're sitting at your computer listening to this show right now, please go to Google and type in Vinny Eastwood. All right, and see what comes up. I've actually done quite a lot of work, I found out. You know, I Google myself every now and again to see, you know, how the CIA-sponsored Google is, you know, tracking and tracing my ass. It's quite interesting to see. Now, well, you wanted to wrap up because there was... This climate change issue is incredibly huge, multifaceted in its complexity, and you're saying that from every angle, no matter which way you look at it, they're wrong.
Well, yeah, unless you look at it from their point of view, I suppose, which is pretty warped, and I don't know, it's like a deep sea diver trying to look at the stars or something. It's pretty ridiculous. but yeah, like speaking of wrapping it up, though, I mean, to take this show and take snippets from it or anything you like, please, and send it to climate changers. I was going to say climate deniers, you know, they propelled it into my mind. But no, send it to those climate changer Al Gorsy fanatics. Please, just wrap it up and just say Happy New Year. I mean, or just say Merry Christmas, you know. Merry Christmas, climate changer, and a Happy New Age.
may your sacrifices to Gaia be plentiful.
yeah, hang up your kids on the tree, you know, and arrange their body parts fruitfully. But yeah, it's a bit low. But I mean, this is what they're into. It's just so depravic. And you see them with 22 bedroom homes, 21 bedroom homes, like Al Gore and like. Biggest power bills in Northern America, Al Gore. It's just unbelievable. They want to live like kings, and you bet. You've got the wrong type of light bulb. You haven't got a mercury-filled cancer-causing light bulb. You bad person. Change that immediately. And you know, our dear leader, Helen Clark, over here, a few years back, she's now number three in the UN, she wanted to make it a law. See, this is how capitalist and free market we are, that you can't even decide. This is what they got close to passing, making standard light bulbs, like the one above my head right now, illegal. Because we've got this more efficient and killing you version. It's filled with mercury. So when it breaks, because they get broken all the time, accidents happen, you have to have your house detoxified, fumigated. You have men in white coats come in. They're not the sort of ones that should be dragging the climate changes out. But, you know, it's going back to the point of economics govern science. Even if they're right about the science, don't you see? they are paving the way for world government. They are paving the way for a global carbon tax to be paid to a central banking authority. The same people who are behind the World Bank, the IMF, the Bancor, the international currency based in Basel, Switzerland, that was launched in April of 2009. End of April, May of 2009. They are empowering that very system. It's going to be a worldwide, single-banner, fiat currency, fractional reserve bank, practicing the same sort of lending at inordinate rates, causing inflation that we've seen for centuries and already. But it's just going to put it under, it's just going to make it more efficient. You know, Hitler talked about the New World Order. Huxley has talked about the New World Order. It's just, it is the central drive of this elite. What would the biggest psychopaths, what would the world's biggest psychopaths want to do? We'll control more and more people to expand their domains of power. It's just a simple thing.
Yeah,
and
like
for those
Matrix,
who say it's not possible, you know, they don't understand how expansive it is. A lot of people who say, oh, they wouldn't be able to do that, support the enemy at some ideological level without even knowing it much of the time.
And the insanity of these people is paramount, okay, of understanding, because if you ever look through history, you have a look at any elite group, any people who had dictatorial power, anybody who's a criminal elite, basically, from Rome to wherever, you notice that they all start going absolutely nuts. They get totally paranoid, they get totally sociopathic, and they do the worst atrocities that you could ever conceive of, except they're not the ones that get their hands dirty. It's always their underlings who see the disembowelment of any description of freedom. It's always their underlings who they sacrifice first.
And Adolf Hitler was an underling. Adolf Hitler was an underling who was allowed to rise. He was a minor corporal. He was allowed to rise. He was part of a couple of Germanic secret society death cults, like the Thule Society, and he was into every sick thing going. It's just a big weird sex cult, pedophile death sex cult. They're just insane, these people. And the average climate changer, they're good-meaning people, and they would be outraged too if they could only allow themselves to understand.
And I suppose we actually go about this the wrong way, don't we, Will? I mean, we go off and we insult climate cultists all the time because, I don't know.
Because they run ads on blowing up children. They run ads, British ads on TV, blowing up school kids, blowing their brains out because they don't believe in climate change. You can YouTube that. Group come out saying, you know, this is what we do to a climate denier. Don't worry, Johnny, you're allowed to have your difference of opinion. And then pushing a red button and blowing Johnny into 1,000 pieces. I mean, that is not the right way to go about it. I mean, that's
Well, you know, and this is the thing. You mean, two wrongs don't make a right. Because on the one hand, I mean, I understand that these aren't evil people per se. Okay, they're just supporting an evil agenda that they're completely unaware of. Now, is it indeed a point that we should raise that we need to, in fact, try to talk some sense to these people? But Ken, is that even a possibility? Because are they propagandized to the point where they are beyond intellectual redemption, Will? Or is insulting them now our last redoubt? I mean, if we can discredit them enough, perhaps the movements themselves will change. But I'm not 100% sure, because, again, we're buying into the old ad hominem arguments where we point the argument at the man rather than at the issues from which he's discussing.
Well,
are we in danger of becoming the very tyrants that we fight against, you know?
Well, no, I mean, I've got fire in me, and anyone can have, you know, fire in them. And that's okay, but I believe in the peaceful the peaceful chucking about of ideas, and may the best idea win. I believe in the free market to the full extent. The free market, the free exchange of ideas, and may the best ones win. And I hope that we can defeat their outmoded socialist, big government, big corp ideals. I really hope, for everyone's sake. But, you know, we throw around ad hominems. I'm an imperfect person. I'm just a flesh and blood person too. I mean, so in dealing with it, you know, you talk about comedy being a coping mechanism in dealing with this stuff. Anger and insult is too. And we like to take stabs at the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds and the Morgans and the Lees and everyone else behind it because it helps us deal with.
Those are the knowingly evil crowd, you know. Those people know that they're evil and they're involved in all these cults, you know. But does the same methodology apply to those who are unwitting dupes?
Well, no, I mean, I've spoken to, I've got a few friends who are active in 350 even, and Greenpeace and Oxfam, and I've had conversations with them. Just frank conversations, and I respect them and they respect me just as people. So we didn't have to agree on everything. And I've had good conversations, and they openly admit and they say, look, William, you know a lot more about this than I do. You know, I'm not being egotistical here. They've actually said this to me. You know a lot more about this than I do. I haven't looked at all that, and so I give them links, and they go, well, frankly, I don't have the time to. And I said, well, you know, thanks for even admitting that. But does that mean that you're not going to be active in this anymore because you admitted to not understanding it? And sadly, in 90% of the time, no. They still carry on preaching the mantra of these global dictators who do know what they're doing. And then, so that's the average person involved in climate change. The guys who stopped me in the street, I got out when I was walking out of court the other day. I was walking down Queen Street. Some Oxfam guys stopped me. And said, do you know that 20-something thousand people are dying of starvation every day? And I said, do you know that it's between, you know, 30 and 35,000 every day? And he goes, see, you're on the same page as me. And I said, no, because I believe in grassroots activism. I don't believe joining some corporate-funded despotic group like Oxfam is the way to bring about the sort of change I want to see in the world. And so we had a bit of an exchange there. But he was a good guy, and we didn't get into a slagging match. But then the guys, the university types, the ones there in Waikato University in Hamilton and Auckland University types, and they're just so arrogant and stuck up. And I know climate change is real and you conspiracy theorists. We were told about you in class. My teacher told us all about you and your Ron Paul supporters and your 9/11 truth tards and your this and your that. And they're just full of stigma and judgment, and you just can't even debate. They're just like, oh, did InfoWars tell you that? Or did, you know, they're just full of blind rhetoric, and they can't accept a fact as a fact. They can't accept any facts about, you know, the last ice age or the warm period or that there were vineyards in the north of London and streets named after them, and it's just historically proven in many mediums, verified in multiple different from multiple sources. Oh, they won't listen to it. Well, they'll find some bizarre reason, like, I don't know, Mars came down a bit closer that year and was reflecting the sun's rays onto that part of London or something. They come up with something bizarre. One of them told me that the rovers on Mars were the reason for the ice caps of Mars receding at a faster rate than Earth because NASA put up a couple of remote-controlled car things. So the ones who claim to understand climate change the most are the most evil people you can imagine. That's fundamentally...
Well, they're so ignorant is the thing. The people who are domineered by this kind of rhetoric, and that's all that it is rhetoric. You'll notice that when you talk to these people, if you ask them to explain into things, and this is what I advocate, is that you can ask as many questions as you can come up with about people trying to elaborate on these things that they claim. Okay, for example, if they say CO2 is causing the Earth to warm, you say, okay, what causal links do you know of that say that? And they say, oh, well, I don't know any, but all the scientists say it. And I say, really? Which scientist have you followed the work of? They say, oh, I don't know, but the IPCC does it. Really? How many percentage of the IPCC left in denial of what their findings were? And then say, oh, well, I don't know. And then you say, okay, well, considering you don't know any causal link of CO2, you don't know any scientist that supports the theory, you don't know the inner workings of the panel that's promoting this, what makes you think that climate change is man-made?
Yeah.
They don't know. Okay, you know, this like, is the thing.
I'm not a scientist.
Upon closer analysis to any big lie, you'll find that it is thin and wispy at best. But occasionally you will come up against educated people who know some science behind it and have basically backed up with sophisticated propaganda the argument that CO2 does cause global warming.
You see, people say to me all the time, I don't want to get into the politics of it. They don't want to get into the politics of it. You see, and so you have to have an understanding of science and politics generally to understand what's going on here. So you get science geeks who are sitting in there in lab suits and they're just fed a certain amount of information. They've got blinkers on, they're controlled and manipulated, and they're getting government grants to study and prove climate change exists. Okay, and so of course they're going to come up with certain information, just like the Nazi scientists were paid to come up with evidence to show that black people and Jews had inferior brains and so forth. Of course they're going to come up with this sort of stuff, that their craniums had less CC's capacity and all the rest of it, you know? And so of course they're not going to go, mein Führer, the black people have the bigger brain. You know, and they're not going to come up with this stuff. They're not going to come up with anything that they've set their conclusion and then they come up with evidence to back it up. That's what they're doing. And that's what they, funnily enough, accuse people of, like me and Vinny, of doing. But you see, I understand generally, I'm not a scientist. They go, you can't have an opinion. Well, no, I can. I can read what scientists have said. I'm literate. I can read. You know, I know a little bit of organic chemistry. They don't even know this. They don't even know that a CO2 reaches a certain proportion in the air where the air becomes saturated, i.e. it can't dissolve any more CO2 for a given amount of nitrogen and oxygen. And at that point, at that saturation point, CO2 has little effect on the amount of heat that the air then traps because it reaches a point where it just doesn't dissolve anymore. So they don't even know that. Like, see, it's really sad. It's people get
exactly.
In such little knowing. So you've got to know a thimble, more than a thimble full of information, to have righteousness.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and if you can't back up what you're thinking, then maybe you should start thinking a little more about what it is you're saying, okay? Because, my goodness, if you cannot analyze and discriminate against your own thoughts, what's to stop you from being a knowing, passive dupe, okay? I know people who know that climate change doesn't exist, yet they're still members of Greenpeace, and they still go out promoting the stuff. Okay, what is the point in promoting something which you know to be false? What have you got to gain? I can assure you that if you are somebody who promotes climate change and the ideas of it and the machinations, the carbon taxes and all of that, the only thing that you are really accomplishing is fulfilling the aims of sophisticated black nobility occultists who really, really just want to see you, your children, your pets and your property vanish from this world forever so that they can consolidate it into a dictatorial communist world government absolutely right into the gurgling maw of these mother effers.
The same system that they say is to blame for climate change, yeah? The same people who created all this, the same people who went and colonized all the indigenous lands and so on, are the very same people now postulating climate change and all the solutions to it. You see what I mean? So they're rushing to the same people who caused all the problems for the solution. And that is
like
why
Like I always say, in the end, everything comes back to the beginning. If you don't know where you started from, how can the heck can you ever finish the race? You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on American Freedom Radio and Rush 89 FM Hamilton and thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Welcome back to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Speaking of history repeating, remember I told you that like psychopaths and all of that kind of stuff who rule society wind up getting real debauched and crazy and that kind of stuff? Ex-TSA workers arrested for child pornography. GorillaMedia.co.nz. The very same US TSA agents that grope and naked body scan you and your children when you fly may also be illegally accessing and sharing child pornography. A recent report by WCVB-TV Boston explains that Andrew Cheever, 33, a former TSA agent from Massachusetts, was recently arrested on child pornography charges. And he's not the only one. Investigators found that Cheever had been storing and sharing over 10,000 pornographic videos and images involving children on multiple computers, hard drives, and external media storage devices. Authorities charged him on two counts of child pornography possession and restricted him from contacting or working at jobs that involve children under the age of 18. And what did I say when this TSA kerfuffle was going on about? Didn't I say that sex predators and child pornography scumbags would wind up lining up for these jobs? Ha-ha! I was right, because it's not that difficult to figure out, really, is it? If you put an opportunity into the hands of a sociopath, they will exploit that opportunity. Just like if you give a foreign corporation the ability to issue your country's currency, they will own your country. On top of this, owning countries, police bludgeon what protesters fight for, from GorillaMedia.co.nz. Protesters have won countless rights for Britain's new authorities, stifling their voices when they most need to be heard. So now we know. When the politicians in Britain complained over the past few decades in a low, sad tone that young people were too apathetic and disengaged, they didn't mean it. A great, flaring re-engagement of the young has taken place this year with overwhelmingly peaceful tactics. They are demanding policies supported by the majority of the British people, and our rulers are trying to truncheon, kettle, and intimidate them back into apathy. Nikki Wishart is a 12-year-old self-described math geek who lives in the heart of Prime Minister David Cameron's constituency. He was gutted when he found out his youth club was being shut down as part of the government spending cuts. There's no where else to hang out in his village. He was particularly outraged when he discovered online that Cameron had said before the election that he was committed to keeping youth clubs open. So again, we have the ability of people to even dissent against their governments being taken out. A few days later, the police arrived at a school, hauled him out of his lessons, told him the anti-terrorism squad was monitoring him, and threatened him with arrest. They also told his family he would be charged for damage caused by the protest. Protest turned out to be not very big, as only a dozen people turned out and half a dozen police officers to make sure that they didn't get all rowdy. Because those dangerous 12-year-olds, oh, mate, they're something to be extremely scared of. Almost as scary as a man in a wheelchair who was pulled out of his wheelchair by police officers during protests in London twice. the tyranny.
Speaking well, you mentioned like pedophiles and freaks running in the TSA. Well, it's just, you know, as above, so below. You know, what do we expect? The world's elite are completely engaged in these activities. The Kosovo president is up on organ harvesting and child kidnapping prostitution charges.
Mm-hmm.
And this follows on, you know, not only people know that one of the main contractors, KBR, under Halliburton and DynCorp, were caught in 1999 as at the center of a Eastern Bloc child kidnapping prostitution ring, little boys and girls, underage, obviously, being shipped and trafficked by some of their contractors.
Yeah. Speaking of contractors, Afghanistan war, what's his name? Secretary of Defense Gates, I believe it is. Despite the fact that public support for the war is like near undetectable levels, Hillary Clinton says that she's urging Americans to see the war as protecting their families by sending them over to die to suppress other people's families, of course. And Secretary of Defense Robert Gates had a somewhat more frank piece of advice for Americans. The government doesn't care what you think and isn't going to end the war no matter how unpopular it gets. This is how your democracy works. The people in control don't care what you think, okay? And they've kettled your consciousness into voting for one of the two left or right leaning, whatever the heck that means anymore, puppet candidates so that they can continue on with their agenda regardless. Okay? They don't care. They will kill you if you stand up against them in a sufficient fashion. And they will send your children to die to kill other people. Okay? They're murdering, psychopathic, uncaring scumbags. As a new Nixon tape reveals, Kissinger doesn't care about even Jews in Soviet gas chambers. All right, get this. This is a quote. The immigration... Oh, wait. Well, let me see if I can do a Kissinger accent. The immigration of Jews from the Soviet Union is not an objective of American foreign policy. And if they put Jews into gas chambers in the Soviet Union, it is not an American concern. So Henry Kissinger speaking with Nixon. Over the past few weeks, this modest little column has been acquiring an eerie prescience and potency, called for the death sentence of Tariq Aziz to be commuted, and it was only a matter of days before the president of Iraq announced that he would not sign Aziz's death warrants. Okay? This blogger here is Christopher Hitchens of Slate.com. I suggest you check out his website. He called for Julian Assange to turn himself in, and he appeared at a London police station within hours of his words being published. Small stuff, you say, but show us something with a little more heft and handle to it. All right, how's this? In a November column, he denounced the shameful offer made by the O'Berry administration to the Netanyahu cabinet in Israel and called for it to be withdrawn. And last week, in a wretched and furtive manner that befitted its original taint of bribery and corruption, withdrawn it was. How do you like that? Now, get this, right? Israel, as many people should know, but most people don't, I would assume, really does control U.S. foreign policy. But Israel's foreign policy is controlled by the international bankers. The old one-step, two-step. Isn't that fabulous? Speaking of one-step, two-step, the UN to regulate internet because of WikiLeaks. From itnews.com.au, the United Nations is considering whether to set up an intergovernmental panel working group to harmonize global efforts by policymakers to regulate the internet. And this would basically make the hair stand up on the neck of anybody who understands what the UN is truly about setting up a global framework for world government. And here we have the UN, which officially has no statutory power in any nation, making up laws and wanting to set up abilities for them to regulate the internet. What kind of freedom of information are we going to have if the ability to access any information will be regulated by an enormous company? And that's what the UN really is. It's just a holding company for the IMF and World Bank so that they can come in and basically dictate to your country whatever goes through treaties and such. Okay? And I'm not joking. All right. An establishment of such a working group is the backing of several countries, and interestingly enough, spearheaded by Brazil, which strangely and ironically had the entire Amazon basin taken off them by the World Bank because they offered it up as collateral for being loaned only $1 billion to build their capital city, Brasilia. So I'm pretty sure that there's a whole bunch of loans and everything like that and conditionalities which are being pressed upon them so that they would support such an act.
You're dead right, Vinny. I mean, and this is why it transcends the common facade of political ideologies. This is why I disagree with, you know, just left-wing bloggers. Well, I disagree with Martin Bomber Bradbury here in New Zealand because he won't concede, for instance, that George Bush Sr. Publicly announced the New World Order in 1991, September 11, and he said that the New World Order would be set up in the vision of the United Nations founders using a credible United Nations. These are all his words. It's been viewed like 500,000 times on YouTube. Using a credible United Nations as a peacekeeping in a peacekeeping role to set up a new world order in the vision of the UN's founders. And who are the UN's founders? Well, I'll leave that for you guys to find out. But you know, there's people don't understand. Why is a right winger there, a hardcore so-called right winger, wanting a left wing, supposedly, organization to take over the world? Why? Because they work for the same people. It's the same. Mm. It's, you know, two sides of the same coin. Well, 10 sides sometimes. It's ridiculous. And they just won't see it. There's an open statement. He's admitting it. He's showing it. But see, that requires some interpretation. That requires some knowledge. No, you can't interpret things. The government's got to interpret things for you. The media. I trust Dan Rather with all of my interpretation. I mean, so so nihilistic. If you if you can't interpret things yourself, and if you can't read between the lines at all, if you can't, now these are like, and it's like a spatial IQ test. It's like circle, square, what comes next? And people like conspiracy theorists, you're seeing a pattern. Now, these people would fail spatial IQ tests. They would fail any investigative journalism test. They would fail at police detective work for sure. They're the most paranoid people out. They take minor things that I don't count as evidence. They take it as like, well, we can land some guy in jail for this. You know, he's got the same colored pencil as we predict the criminal had. You know, just no, but like, when it comes to symbology, especially around us, if you just go and if the, one of the listeners right now who doubts this wants to go on the net and do a spatial IQ test, and they'll have like triangle, star, square, oblong, and then a various pattern and a rhythm algorithm set out. And then it says predict the next three. I mean, if someone doesn't think, that's the way I think. You can predict. You can extrapolate based upon past patterns. This is why we have to know history.
Speaking of history, did you know that the Nazi SS funded the nascent Israeli army? In his book, in his 1988 book, Blowback, Christopher Simpson says captured SS records documented a covert agreement between the SS and the Haganah, the forerunner of the Israeli Defense Force. They funded at least one Haganah commander. Under the arrangement, the Haganah was permitted to run training camps for Jewish youth inside Germany. These young people, as well as certain other Jews driven out of Germany by the Nazis, were encouraged to immigrate to Palestine. Haganah Commander Feivel, Polks, and the Haganah in return agreed to provide the SS with intelligence about British affairs in Palestine. Captured German records claim that Polks believed the increasingly brutal Nazi persecution of the Jews could be turned to Zionist advantage, at least temporarily, by compelling Jewish immigration to Palestine, and that the Haganah commander's sole source of income, moreover, was secret funds from the SS.
Well, look, okay. I mean, this Israel is why you need to Hamas. Understand this. Israel funded Hamas then. So the Nazis fund Israel, Israel funds Hamas. Why would they do that? Because they want to build attention. They need an enemy because Israel wants to enslave its own people in the police state also. People don't understand that. That come out in U.S. Secret Service intelligence reports in the early 70s. During the Six-Day War, right through to the late 70s, Israel was openly funding Hamas.
Yeah, and we have people mostly on the left campaigning on the Palestinian issue and saying that, oh, Hamas was democratically elected and Israel's suppressing them. It's just like, well, how do you think they got the funding to do their political campaigns, mate? How do you think their leaders got the education and the public profile to even run a campaign, so to speak? Okay, they got it from Israel. It is a false flag, puppy, right there, ready, easy for you to complete the package and just love them. Don't underestimate the intelligentsia's influence on world politics. You are listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Don't stop fighting. After all, you'll just get steamrolled. You're listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will, the lighter side of genocide. Speaking of genocide, another article here. EPA knowingly allowed honeybee-killing pesticide. The world honeybee population has plunged in recent years, worrying beekeepers and farmers who know how critical bee pollination is for many crops. A number of theories have popped up as to why the North American honeybee population has declined. It's not just there either. It's actually happening here in New Zealand as well. I remember last year I saw, over the entire year, a total of two bees. Now, supposedly,
you live in the city, bro.
Well, I live in the city, you know, and I travel around all over the place. Real freaking bad, man. Like, seriously. And they didn't seem to be buzzing around, and, you know, they weren't two at the same time either, or on the same day. They were widely spaced apart.
See, I live now, on the borderline of the bush, and a few years ago out here across the Manuka flowers, there used to be just bees humming this time of year. I can't hear anything now.
Mm-hmm. And electromagnetic radiation, malnutrition, and climate change have all been pinpointed, and now a leaked EPA document reveals that the agency allowed the widespread use of a bee toxic pesticide, despite warnings from EPA scientists. And it turns out that, in my opinion, if you are a government organization, it is not just an accident. It is usually your job to ensure that toxic things are released into the environment, which really threaten human life. Okay? That's their job description.
notice how we try and talk about another issue. We're talking about honeybees, and then we end up coming across climate change propaganda just thrown in there.
I know.
Notice how you just can't escape their agenda. We spent the whole 1.5 hours talking about climate change. It still goes back to it.
Yeah.
Oh, these monsters run everything.
Yeah. And the document, which was leaked to a Colorado beekeeper, shows that the EPA has ignored warnings about the use of clothianidin, a pesticide produced by a bear that usually is used to pre-treat corn seeds. The pesticide scooped up $262 million in sales in 2009 alone by farmers, and who also use the substance on canola, soy, sugar beets, sunflowers, and wheat, according to Grist. And the leaked document was put out in response to Bayer's request to approve use of the pesticide on cotton and mustard. And the document invalidates a prior Bayer study that justified the registration of clothianidin on the basis of its safety to honeybees. All right, so they know, and this is so obvious in many, many different circles, regardless of whatever toxicity is being pumped into the environment, whether it be pesticides, toxic additives in the food, or toxic farming practices, or whatever. It's almost as if the air, the water, the food, the electrical components that we use, the carpet that we put in our houses, everything has to be toxic, right? It's just got to be. Because why else, you know, what reason do they have to put out stuff that's good for you? You won't come back and buy more, will you? Because, you know, the big old problem will start erupting, and then everybody else goes, oh, I wonder how this could have been caused. No freaking clue, do you? Okay? It's intentional. All right? Believe me when I tell you that psychopaths exist. Believe me when I tell you that corporations are not the sole cause of all of this corruption. Look at who owns them. Look at the shareholders. Look at how corporations are being used as finger puppets to destroy individual sections of society using a different plethora of chemical poisons and toxic radiation, etc., etc., etc. You're being attacked from all sides. All the time. And believe me when I tell you, there is very, very little possibility that you will see this kind of information that we talk about on this show released on mainstream media, because the mainstream media are owned by this plethora
of
corporations.
If what you and Will were saying was correct, I would have heard about it on TV, okay?
Yeah, right. I love that argument that they give out, Will. You know, it's like, oh, man, but if it was that big, somebody would have blown the whistle. So, you know, it's just like, well, mate, if somebody was trying to blow the whistle, like a big insider or something like that, they would either be ignored or would wind up dead somewhere and there wouldn't be a story about it whatsoever.
Gotta love that faith in government and media, right? Keep your faith, guys.
Yeah. I mean, who was it? There was somebody saying the other day that government doesn't lie. Oh yeah. It was yesterday. Claire Swinney, who we had as a guest on the show, some of the people who were ragging her for talking about chemtrails and stuff like that. That's one of the things that they said, that the government doesn't lie. It's like,
yeah, a guy called Raymond Collicott, the North Island's most retarded mechanic. But yeah.
retarded North Island mechanic Norman Collycott. Who's a guy? Oh, where's my rent gone?
Like, we don't mean it, bro. It's like
yeah, we do.
His name's Raymond, but yeah, the problem is Raymond, man. The country's liquidated in this place. You know, you're included. Foreign our deficit's now over 23% of GDP. It's gone up. It went up 5% from 2008 to 2009. The country's almost dead. And, you know, we're trying to actually restore something, and then guys like you go out and just make excuses for them all day long. It's not it's not productive. I mean,
you're working against yourself, Raymond. Come on, mate. Seriously. The government is borrowing 250 million smackaroonies a week, and then it just came out that, oh, no, 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 actually we're borrowing 300 million smackaroonies a week for a country of 4 million people. Don't
we can
you
mint
see?
Our own money. We can legally mint our own money. This is criminal, what's going on.
Mm-hmm. The country is run by criminal scumbags, not least of all the people who are elected to represent you. Okay? Who better to represent you than a lying criminal that actually is really good at disturbing the peace and making sure that everybody is just a dumb-ass slave? Thank you for listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, and we'll be back soon enough.